is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Third and final hour, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Anthony and Frishon behind the glass. And guess what? Guess what? The big game is upon us. Well, it's upon us on Saturday. But we're getting closer and closer as the rivalry is renewed. Texas A&M, Texas, Kyle Field and College Station. We're going to give you extensive coverage of this game thanks to our friends at Rebecca Creek Distillery. And right now, joining us on the HRNP guest line, an old friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Brad Kellner, to give us some thoughts on this game. Bradley, how are you, sir?
Paul, Joe, I'm doing great, boys. Good to hear y'all's voices. How are you?
Doing well. We know now that you have moved off to Austin to cover the Texas Longhorns, who have had a very interesting season to this point. Brad, we have gone in back and forth on this show, Joe and I, about the quarterback situation at Texas. And look, Quinn Ewers is the guy. But is Quinn Ewers playing like the guy that he is capable of? Is he back to looking like the guy that we saw a lot of last year going into this game?
Yeah, Paul, he's been inconsistent throughout the course of this season, right? I mean, there are a couple of games this year where he's looked like 2023 Quinn Ewers. Hell, he's looked even better than 2023 Quinn Ewers at times this season. You go back to the Week 2 win at Michigan. You go back to the Florida game a couple of weeks ago. There are moments where Quinn Ewers has looked like the Heisman contender and the potential top 10 pick that a lot of folks expected him to be before the start of the season. But there have also been some games where you're left scratching your head and it feels like a guy making some freshman mistakes. So it's been an up-and-down roller coaster ride for Quinn Ewers. I think when he's on, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But when he's off, then Texas has the chance to get beat. So obviously his play, and he's a little bit hobbled too. He injured his ankle in the second quarter in the Longhorns win against Kentucky last week. He's been practicing. He's going to play against A&M. But, his play, obviously, against the Aggies this Saturday is going to go a long way in determining who wins this game.
Yeah, what is this game being back, like, besides Quinn itself, what do you think is the biggest advantage the Longhorns have over A&M in this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Texas defense has been arguably the best defense in college football, right? And A&M's offense has been very solid this season. I love what Marshall Reed has done, and the fact that he's doing what he's doing in this conference as a true freshman is incredible. But the Aggies offense since Le'Veon Moss got hurt has not quite been the same. And I think too much has been put on Marcel Reed's plate, and that's why he's 1-2 over his last three games. So I think just this Texas defense, with how opportunistic they are, they lead the SEC in interceptions, they lead the SEC in takeaways. I think them going up against a freshman quarterback playing in what is undoubtedly the biggest game of his life is probably the biggest advantage on paper that Texas has going into Saturday.
Joe, Paul, Brad Kellner from Texas Sports, unfiltered with us on the HRNP guest line. So the defense is the strength of this team. And, yeah, offensively, it's been up and down. Do you feel confident in this one? Now, I ask that because I've been talking to some of my Texas fan friends and my Texas A&M fan friends. The Aggies feel very confident that having blown a game like they did to Auburn means that perhaps Texas will take them a little bit lightly for this one. What are you getting reads as far as vibes going into this game?
Yeah, look, I think there were some Texas fans who were a little worried about that, but maybe if you were fearful of that happening, the fact that Texas A&M is still playing for a trip to the SEC championship game serves as plenty of motivation. So, look, I'm always going to be confident in Texas going up against Texas A&M. I mean, 76-37-5 is the all-time record for Texas against the Aggies. So Longhorns could be 0-11 going into this game, and I still like their chances going up against A&M. But, look, Texas, I mean, they've got so much to play for, right? Trying to get to the conference championship, trying to secure a spot in the college football playoff, which were obviously two of the biggest goals this team had going into this season. So, look, it's going to be a hostile environment. Kyle Field's going to be nuts. It's going to be a sellout crowd. It's the most expensive ticket in college football this season. You guys know all of these things already. But I'm feeling good. I think most Longhorn fans are feeling pretty good about this game.
what does it just mean as a fan and someone that's covering this team to have just this rivalry back now after all these years?
Yeah, Joe, well, it's a Thanksgiving tradition that I've missed for a long time, and I'm kind of bummed out that this game isn't happening tomorrow, right? For years, they played this on Turkey Day, and it was always a classic. You know, I'd watch the Cowboys choke, and then I'd watch the Longhorns win over some turkey with the fam on Thanksgiving. So I miss that we won't get this game tomorrow, but, man, it doesn't matter what side of this rivalry you're on. This game means so much to so many people across the great state of Texas, and there are so many divided houses in this state, right? Like, families are going to be getting together this weekend. There's going to be Longhorns and Aggies in the same room watching this game at the same time, and it just means a lot. And I think it's cool that the first year this game is back has so much on the line, because everyone in Texas knows how big of a deal the Lone Star Showdown is. But the fact that this is your prime time, Saturday night, ABC game, ranked matchup, SEC title berth on the line, like, the rest of the country is going to get a taste of just how big of a deal this is. And I think it's the best game of the upcoming weekend in college football. So definitely means more, not to use the SEC slogan, means more to folks in Texas, but this is a game that obviously has massive implications for college football this year, which makes it even more special.
Brad Kellner of Texas Sports Unfiltered with us on the HRNP guest line. Brad, this is a question that I feel like UT fans never answer honestly. I have a bunch of friends that are Texas fans, and publicly, they always act as if Texas A&M doesn't matter to them, that OU is the real arch rival. And obviously, given that the Red River Shootout has been played over this long stretch where Texas and Texas A&M haven't played, I understand that. But I know that deep down inside, even if they wouldn't admit it, that a lot of my Texas grad and Texas fan friends want bad things to happen to the Aggies every single Saturday. I know that that feeling is mutual from the Aggies, because every single Saturday they get very excited about when Texas loses. My question is, why don't Texas fans admit this publicly, that they probably hate A&M just as much as they hate OU?
Oh, Joe, do you have to deal with this every day? Paul talking about how many friends that he has. I mean, my goodness.
Some of my best friends.
Of Paul Gallant here. Look, you're talking to the wrong Texas fan, right? Like, you're right. There are way too many Longhorn fans who act like A&M is not a rival and, oh, they don't care. But it's those same people who will tweet every single time A&M loses a game in any sport bashing them. And I always love this whole rent-free, right? Every fan base says the other fan or the other team lives rent-free in their head year-round. And it's like, you're doing the exact same stuff. Just wait till your team loses. So, you know, for me personally, like, I want A&M to lose every game that they play in every sport. I feel the same way about Oklahoma. I feel the same way about, like, all of my favorite team's biggest rivals. I'm not one of those fans who, if the Aggies entered this game 11-0 and Texas was the only team to beat them this season, I'm like, no, I want them in at 0-11, and I want them to be the nail in the coffin on the winless year. So, you know, for me personally, yeah, what you said, Paul, I think more Texas fans should openly admit their disdain for Texas A&M, and I've got it. So that didn't go away over the last 13 years. It's still been there, and that'll be amped up to a whole nother level, I think, Saturday night.
All right, BK, I got a hypothetical question for you. We know you. You know, we know here you like those.
Hypothetical Wednesday.
So hypothetical Wednesday here. So the first part of this you're not going to like.
Huh.
Texas A&M defeats Texas this weekend, but then gets stomped by Georgia in the SEC championship game. Does the Longhorns still make the college football playoff in that scenario?
I think Texas is in regardless. You know, if you asked me that question last week, Joe, when Alabama and Ole Miss only had two losses, I would have said Texas won't get in, and I would have said Texas doesn't deserve to get in, right? I mean, the Longhorns' schedule was not nearly as bad as Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy want to tell you every Tuesday night when these rankings come out. But if your two toughest games, Georgia and Texas A&M, are losses, and you're beating a bunch of non-ranked teams, then, yeah, it would have been tough for me to advocate for Texas to be in the field of 12. But now you're looking around the country, really you're looking around the conference, and in last night's rankings, there are only three SEC teams in the top 12. like Texas can lose and they should still be ranked ahead of the three lost teams in this conference. So the Longhorns are in a great spot, right? Regardless of what Twitter people say, regardless of what the analysts out there say, the only opinion that really matters is the committee. And they've thought very highly of Texas for a long time. I mean, Texas is kind of locked into that three spot and the number two seed in the CFP. I have a hard time believing, unless the Aggies blow out Texas on Saturday, I have a hard time believing that Texas would drop, what, 10 spots from 3 to 13 out of the college football playoff field altogether. So you don't want to back into the playoff. No Texas fan is like, ah, it's cool, we don't need to worry about this game. Obviously, you want to get to the SEC championship game and win the SEC so you get that first round bye. But I think even if the Aggies do come out on top on Saturday, I think Texas will be in the field of 12, probably seed 10 or 11. They'll have to start on the road in the first round. But once again, I fully expect them to be in because of all of the chaos that's going on around the country.
You can catch Brad's work on YouTube for Texas Sports Unfiltered, also on X and wherever you can find it. He's there. Brad, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to the game. Hope you have fun watching it, covering it. We'll talk to you soon. You have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, thanks for not forgetting about me, boys. Y'all do the same.
See you, buddy.
He is Brad Kellner, and again, you can catch his work all over those mean internet streets. He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and make sure that you're staying tuned to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for extensive coverage of Texas and Texas A&M getting back together. It's presented by Rebecca Creek Distillery. Make sure you're enjoying Rebecca Creek Whiskey and Janet Rock Vodka and Texas Ranger Whiskey to celebrate the return of the rivalry. Gig 'em and hook 'em. Up next on Gallon and George, the pick six. Check that. We're doing that at 2:30. Check that. My bad. Hey, sometimes you can't read the rundown. What are your expectations for the Houston Texans on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars? We will discuss. Hopefully I'll not have another meltdown. It's Gallon and George.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Texans and Jaguars play on Sunday. The line keeps shifting. I know that it opened up with the Texans as 5.5-point favorites against the 2-9 Jags coming off of a bye week. This is probably the last time that this radio station will be talking about the game in great detail in this time slot until it actually goes down on Sunday. What are realistic expectations for this one, Joe?
Well, the expectations, from it starts with you should win the game, like at a bare minimum, right? You're still the much better football team. You have 7 wins. They have 2. They're not good. They are bound to fire their head coach. They maybe reluctantly are putting Trevor Lawrence back out there, who's really regressed another step backwards this year. They're, you know, maybe a guy I thought was going to be super talented in the NFL. It's been maybe a bigger disappointment is Travis Etienne. He's done nothing for them. And so, yeah, it starts there. Like, they should win this weekend, and they should cover the spread, especially as it's moving. I mean, down to 104, I mean, to -4, the Texans, if they wouldn't have lost last week, they probably would have been like 6 or 7-point favorites. But people are rightfully down on them right now. But so it starts there. Cover the spread, get the win. Minimum expectations this weekend for me.
Okay. I am not feeling good about it. I feel like every single game this year outside of the Patriots game, they have played down to the competition. They played down to the Titans, they played down to the Bears, they played down to a lot of teams that they're better than. And I feel like we should shame them for that and believe nothing about them. Nothing. CJ Stroud, top quarterback in the game? Nah. DeMeco Ryans, top coach in the game? Nah. The pass rush, which actually is good, one of the best in the game. Nah, nothing matters. Nothing matters on this team until they can actually prove that they can take care of business against the worst teams and compete against the best teams. They have a month to change our minds. It ain't happening on Sunday, and I just think that this Jaguars team, as bad as it is, with as much quitting potential as it has, I just feel like, by default, the Texans will play with their food as this team is coming off of a bye.
Yeah, I mean, like, you think back to the Patrick Mahomes quote we got this weekend about the Chiefs and what they're going through this season. He, you know, he said he wants blowouts. And I think we kind of had a similar conversation about the Texans over the last 2 weeks between, you know, the Cowboys game and the Titans game. So they should blow those teams out. And I would have put Jacksonville in the same category. Like, I definitely will not ask for that because they don't deserve that. They don't deserve to be having those expectations anymore. But they're still just I can't quit them totally just yet. And to that just yet point is
why?
It's because it's Jacksonville. Like, this isn't the Chiefs game. This isn't the Ravens game. There's still the talent. Like, I still believe in the talent. You're right. CJ Stroud's not a top five quarterback. He's probably not a top 10 quarterback right now.
Statistically, he's top 25.
Yeah. It's not, yeah. It's,
so that's
it's
nice.
Terrible what he's done this season. But we still have the upside of what happened earlier in the year.
What was the upside of what happened earlier in the year, though? That's what's funny. I mean, they had moments where they were 5-1, and we were saying, hey, be happy that they're off to a 5-1 start. It's one of the best in franchise history. But, I mean, along the way, it was very difficult to get to those.
Yeah, I think the positives for CJ in those was really just what he was doing with so little around him when they were failing to do anything on first and second down, and he was converting all these third and eights.
But he had plenty around him. You know, first couple of games of the year, he had Nico Collins, he had Stephon Diggs, and he had Tank Dell. And, I mean, really, like the first five games, 29 points, 19 points, 7 points, 24 points, 23 points.
And that's where the first half struggles, you know, started, obviously. We just didn't realize they were happening
in the
moment.
Those were the first half struggles. And then the second half, I mean, we've been seeing it for weeks now where they've lost 4 of 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's probably not wise expectations for them, but I still, look, they're the best team in a crap division. Like, this is a game that, it's a 4-point spread. It should be, this is not a big number. Like, this is not something that, you know, you look at and you say, okay, like, this is...
I think it's a big number. I think there should be 2.
Really?
They stink right now. They stink out loud. Like, we're treating them with a 5-point road spread, 5.5-point road spread, even a 4-point road spread. Like, they're world beaters right now. They're an also-ran team in the middle of the conference based off of their resume. You are what your record says you are. You are what your stats say you are. It's a team that can't protect the quarterback, who seems jittery, who has more mistakes this year than he has in years past. So, I mean, why are we picking a team like them as 4-point favorites on the road against a 2-9 team? Would we do the same with the Chargers? Would we do the same with the Steelers? I don't know. I feel like it's generous. I feel like right now, if it's the NFL, like 3 seems like it would be a more reasonable line for this team given the way that they're playing.
And to your point, that they only won by 4 the last time they played. But it's just Jacksonville, now it's Mac Jones. It's obviously a little bit different. It's coming off a 52-6 loss. And the quit factor, maybe I'm doing too much assuming that the quit factor is going to actually hit at some point for Jacksonville, because we've been waiting. Like we've been waiting for this team to fully just quit on the season. And to all of our surprises at this point, they just have not bailed on what they're doing. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the injuries. No reason why as of yet, but it appears Will Anderson was not at practice today. So maybe that was hopefully that's just a rest thing, because that obviously makes you feel even worse. Like, if you continue to lose guys, it's just not going to get any easier for the Texans right now. And to your point, we shouldn't have any faith that if Trevor Lawrence throws the ball 40 yards down the field that they're going to stop it.
No, I mean, like, your best defense is he overshoots it, because Trevor Lawrence overthrows passes a lot. But honestly, now that he's coming back from injury, maybe he has less arm strength and now he's not going to overshoot it anymore.
What about the rest of the season? What are your expectations for them? Just win the division?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can really say.
Yeah.
And by the way, this division stinks, so...
Yeah, it's a low bar.
That's neato. And I hate sounding this negative, just given how excited I was to watch this year, but it's just... I can't help but think back and say, damn, like, you once again kind of hitched your wagon this year from a career perspective to more people being interested in what you have to say because you're talking about this team and covering this team as hard as you do. That's
and they're less down.
That's the very me, I love me some me lens to look at this year. And yeah, they should win the AFC South. They've basically got a 3-game lead on the Colts in the division because they have beaten the Colts twice this year. Indy's 5-7. The Texans are 7-5. But, I mean, it's not even a slam dunk, an absolute slam dunk, that they win the division. It's a layup that they win the division. I can't say slam dunk.
No, you can't. Because I mean, when we asked DJ yesterday, what, like how many wins would they win? He went over, which...
For your 2.5 for line two and for half. The rest of the year.
Yeah. I can't do that. I couldn't confidently bet money on that. To say that they're going to win a game against between the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. Because part of what I'm sensing with those final four games is all these changes they've been talking about is there's starting to be this, like the super optimistic people are starting to really focus on the idea of this late bye week is when these things actually get corrected. But I don't get why. Like, first of all,
because you have 2 weeks to fix the problems instead of the 12 weeks you've already had this year.
Yeah. But like when like half the players are in probably Mexico.
You think they go to Mexico?
Some of them do. Not all of them. But not everyone stays during a bye week.
Travel ban. FAA has just declared that no Houston Texans will be allowed to travel on the bye week.
If I was CJ Stroud, I'd be telling my teammates that.
I just wrote Pete Buttigieg an email. Pete Bugagaga.
Who's that?
Pete Bugatti. He's the Director of Transportation in the United States of America.
Oh, okay.
Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. I sent him an email just now. Dear Peter, I know that you are probably on a leave of absence for paternity, but I would like you to put a travel ban on these 53 players for the Houston Texans because I feel like it is in the best interest of the United States of America for them to stay in town and to work on their craft.
I agree.
Thank you, Pete
Bugatti.
Pete Bugatti, yeah.
I don't know if that's actually his name, but
it's not Bugatti. It's something with the B, you know.
With a G in it.
He's Lord Transporter. He's basically Jason Statham. From the Transporter movie franchise.
And I think if we do let them, if they do travel, I think we should force them to fly Spirit only.
Ooh, that would keep them from traveling too.
I mean, imagine Laramie Tunsil on a Spirit airplane. He'd have to buy the whole row. And that's nothing against him. That's against Spirit. Are you flying Spirit tomorrow?
I am flying Spirit back on Saturday. So there's a chance I still miss Texas A&M. My flight arrives at 3:30. I'm assuming it's going to take me about an hour to go get my car, although I doubt that there's going to be any Ecolot spots tomorrow morning when I go to try and fly out.
It gives you 3 hours to land and then get there. Now,
to a bar.
To a bar. Because you want to be around people. That
for sure.
So it's not just about watching the game. You want to be in the environment of it.
Yes.
So say, if you land at like 6:15.
No, that won't happen. My flight lands at 3:30. I should be in the greater Houston area by 5:15 or
but so. Like if you got delayed and all of a sudden it's 6:15, you're off the airplane, is there any consideration to down at the airport?
I would rather die than stay in Terminal A of George Bush Intercontinental Airport. I would rather die. And I know there's an El Tiempo there. I'd still rather die. I hate that terminal with the passion of 1,000 suns because their security people at Terminal A are unnecessarily slow.
I've only flown out of Bush one time.
What?
Yeah.
How many times? So you always fly out of Hobby?
Yeah. Because
fly to Chicago?
Because Southwest flies to Chicago.
Oh, all right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, honestly, I didn't think about that.
Because if I want to take Southwest or anything, like out of Bush.
You've been sometimes to Bush once? God, I'm so jealous.
I know. But, like, it's not convenient. It's not near me. Hobby's 25 minutes from my house. It's like it took me an hour to get to Bush. That sounds like a nightmare, especially now with a monster.
Yeah. All right. Up next, our pick six. We pick the six best games of basically the next week in football, and then we pick them against the spread. He's Joe. I'm Paul Anthony, and for Sean behind the glass, stay put.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one. Unbelievable!
He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
Pick six!
Wow, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
You know how it do, Yugi. We pick the six best games of the football week, and then we pick them against the spread. Joe, it was not a great week for us last weekend.
No, it was not.
Joe laughed off the air.
Yeah. I was so caught off guard by even having to think about how bad it was. Combined, you and I went 3-9. You went 1-5. I went 2-4.
Oh, you just had to bring up the fact you did better than me.
Mapes went 4-2.
Oh, so he's overtaken us in the standings.
Yeah, Mapes is now 36-36 on the year, even 500. You and I both sit at 33-39.
Ugh.
So we've got 5 weeks to get six games above 500.
Okay, well.
Let's get to work.
All right. Well, let's start with a Thursday Thanksgiving game. Not a great weekend in the NFL. You've got the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one, everybody. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. I'm sorry, that went a little bit too far. That's the fight song for the Miami Dolphins. They are going to be playing the Green Bay Packers. The line for that game, the third game of Thanksgiving night, is Packers by 3. The Dolphins are hot all of a sudden. Texans play them in a couple of weeks. Texans played the Packers already this year. And the Green Bay Packers took them down. They've been kind of of late, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But they are 8-3 after a resounding win, 38-10, over the San Francisco 49ers. Breaks the string of a lot of close calls. The blocked field goal to beat the Bears. A 30-27 win over the Jaguars, 24-22 over the Texans, plus a loss to the Lions along the way.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be, according to ESPN's website, 28 degrees at kickoff. So it's chilly, but it's not like it's frozen tundra.
But listen, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins here in their candy-ass uniforms.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen them play in the snow not too long ago, and they actually held their own against the Buffalo Bills. I think that was last year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, maybe the cold is overstated in this one. Tyreek Hill's close to health. I think the Dolphins are going to keep it going. 3-point dogs. I think that the Dolphins pull it off, and I think that they do it because Jordan Love makes a few too many mistakes. The man, he is a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, I struggle. This is a good game, but I'm going to go Packers -3.
Okay. We disagree. Also, in football, let's move to Saturday. Michigan at Ohio State. This is a big game for Ryan Day, even if it's not really a big game for the college football cognoscenti, the sport as a whole. Because, like, listen, Michigan ain't doing a damn thing this year. But at mybookie.ag, the line for this game, the arch rivals, Michigan and Ohio State. And I'm sorry, I'm filibustering here.
I got a 21.
The website is slowly loading. Ohio State is a 20.5-point favorite at mybookie.ag over the Michigan Wolverines in the big noon kickoff game at 11 a.m. on Fox.
Michigan sucks. They did beat Northwestern last week. Oh, no, that's Ohio. No, yeah, they beat Northwestern last week 50-6. They hung tough with Indiana. Man, I hate both these schools, but I'm going to take Ohio State.
I'm taking Ohio State as well. Ohio State is taking things personally right now. Just take a look at the way that they took down Indiana and covered against Indiana. So with that in mind, I think Ohio State does it. I'm an idiot for having picked Indiana to cover against Ohio State last week. That was dumb. I knew it was dumb as soon as Nick Saban laughed at Desmond Howard when he made the pick on College Game Day. I was like, God, Paul, you were thinking a little bit. You were trying a little bit too hard. You got cocky because you had a good week the week before.
That laugh was harsh, man.
Yeah, that laugh, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Yeah.
Auburn at Alabama. Speaking of Nick Saban, the first time we're going to see this game in quite some time. without Nick Saban. Alabama's coming off of a brutal loss. They are 11.5-point favorites against Auburn. Auburn has been very chirpy this week, for what it's worth. This one's really tricky to me, Joe.
I'll tell you what. This is not Nick Saban's team. This is a team that's losing these games that they shouldn't. I'm taking Auburn to cover. I'll take Auburn plus 11.5. I think it's really easy to shut down Jalen Milroe. You stop him from running outside. He can't throw. He can't throw the football. I'll take Auburn. I don't want to, but it's the Iron Bowl.
I agree that it seems rather easy to shut down Jalen Milroe, but at the same time, I mean, Marcel Reed did a pretty good job for Texas A&M once they finally got back in the game. I mean, they put up points, you know? It's not like Auburn defense is good. I think Auburn stinks. I'm going to take Alabama to win this game into cover, and I think the bravado that Auburn's had this week in the Iron Bowl matchup, I think it was a big mistake, even though I would definitely agree that they are beatable with no Nick Saban anymore.
Definitely.
Okay, let's shift back to the NFL. This is the best game of the NFL weekend because the Philadelphia Eagles might be the hottest team in the NFC, not named the Detroit Lions. They are on a roll after their win in Sunday Night Football over the Rams, where Saquon Barkley is running for 255 yards. They are now a very quiet 9-2. Nick Sirianni, all those rumors and all those questions about his coaching ability, no longer a question. The Ravens, meanwhile, in Monday Night Football, beat the Chargers in a game where the final score was a lot closer than the actual game was. The Ravens are 3-point favorites for this 325 game on CBS. I don't know, Jim.
This is a great game. I cannot wait for Sunday for this game to get here.
This is the best game of the weekend.
Yeah. Honestly, as much as like the college football weekend's kind of a bummer, at least we have games like this that make up for it. I'm going to take
Baltimore. You're going to take Baltimore. Okay.
Baltimore minus three.
You know what, for the sake of being different?
We are like almost totally different this week.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. I'm taking the Eagles. 3-point dogs.
All right.
I believe in the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like the Ravens defense has some sus elements.
It does.
So there you go. Saturday night, a game which we are covering as hard as we possibly can, thanks to our friends at Rebecca Creek Distillery. Enjoy Rebecca Creek Whiskey, Enchanted Rock Vodka, and Texas Ranger Whiskey to celebrate the return of Texas versus Texas A&M. Gig'em and hook'em. This big-time game under the lights. The first matchup that we've seen between these two teams since it was Justin Tucker before he became washed.
That's
kicking
true.
It through the uprights to give Texas the big time victory. The line for this game, and I know it's taken a little bit of time to get it because of some technical difficulties. The Texas Longhorns are 5-point favorites for mybookie.ag promo code bet975 at Kyle Field over the Aggies.
Man, I know BK, Brad Kellner, earlier when he was on with us, said that Quinn's been practicing. But they're not explosive right now. And they haven't been most of the season. I know A&M's got a big injury, but it's the best environment I've ever been to in my life.
Oh, you Glazer.
I'm taking A&M.
The best environment I've ever been to in my life.
100%. Not even close.
There's
nothing.
The entire world. A College Station, Texas. Is the best.
The being at that game week one was the best thing I've ever experienced in a sports.
Oh, in a sports. I was about to say. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever experienced.
No,
ever.
My wedding.
Sex, the wedding, put it to the side.
No, sports.
College Station, Texas.
No, the sports.
I love it up there, man. It's great. All right. Well, my friends won't talk to me if I don't pick Texas. So I have to pick Texas. I'm picking with my heart.
Yeah.
I am debating whether or not I will wear a burnt orange t-shirt.
I cannot wait till to see what Sean picks. I bet you he picks A&M.
No, he won't. He won't hedge.
He's been hedging all season.
Yeah, he won't for this one.
All season he's been hedging. Well.
All right, last game. Last and least. Because I don't want to watch this at all. You got the Texans and you got the Jacksonville Jaguars. A Sunday football game that can only disappoint the many fine people living in Houston, Texas. I can't believe the line is 4. It was 5.5 yesterday. Texans by 4 on the road in Duval, noon on CBS, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Joe, you start.
Yeah, I can't literally talk the way I did that entire last segment and then pick against them, so I have to pick the Texans.
Yeah.
I boxed myself into a corner.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Texans minus 4.
I'm taking the Jags.
You should. You should.
I don't think you're wrong necessarily, but with the way things are going, this is my FU to the Houston Texans.
I mean, just for clarification this year, we are going into week 13. I have picked the Texans game spread correctly 3 times.
Damn.
I am 3-12. Nope.
Well, that's not how math works.
3-9.
That's also not how it
three
works. 3-9. Got it the third time.
3-9.
1 + 1 is
that was
2.
Weird. That was embarrassing.
1 + 1 + 1
it's
is 3.
It's the holiday. It's vacation.
Not yet. We just got 17 minutes.
I barely slept last night.
I barely slept last night, too. But I was doing some work. What were you doing? Playing Call of Duty?
Working. I'm dealing with a sick child.
Oh, look at me.
No, he's just got the sniffles.
Yeah. Oh, but he's got the sniffles. I'm going
to
use that as
an
excuse.
If anyone's got dad advice on how to teach a three-year-old how to blow his nose, hit me up.
Oh, man. That's got to be tough.
I didn't realize, like,
my God,
trying
the same
to
thing.
Show him how to do it, and he's like, what? It's not that hard of a thing to do, but it's like such a foreign concept. I can't get him to do it.
My godson's in the same phase. He's about as old as your son. And, yeah, it's always funny. He's a little kid. Like, you put the tissue in front of him, and they're like, yeah, I don't want to. And, like, meanwhile, they got snot like, yeah. dribbling, like, all the way down their face.
Yeah. Yeah. She just couldn't sleep last night. It was keeping me up.
I hate that. What was he going?
Yeah, just a lot of unnecessary tears. He's being a soft
boy. Oh, he's crying about it?
He's being a soft boy.
Oh, well, he's 3. I mean, I get it.
I know.
I get it. That sucks. Poor Joe Jr. All right, guys. That's the pick 6. We've done it all. We've said it all. Thanks to our friends at Rebecca Creek Whiskey. And make sure if you're up in College Station on Friday, you hang out with Joe. Where are you going
to
be at?
I will be at the Angry Elephant on Friday. Thanks to our friends at Rebecca Creek Whiskey. Believe the guys from Texags, like David Nuno, will be stopping by.
Nice.
Ruben, one of our finalists from Rock the Mic.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be my co-host for the 4 hours.
Let's go. Ruben's great. Yeah,
we'll be playing back some of these interviews and things like that from Steve McKinney, Selvin Young, BK will probably play that one. Both play-by-play guys. Andrew Monaco and Craig Way have been on this week. All thanks to Rebecca Whiskey. We'll play all those interviews as well on Friday. And shots on me if you come by.
Shots on you.
For the first 10 people.
Okay.
Just in case there's a lot of people that go.
Okay. Hang on.
I'll buy 10 people shots.
You'll buy 10 people shots?
Yes.
Okay.
If they come say hi.
Okay. Of Rebecca Creek Whiskey? Of Rebecca...
I'll ask them what they think.
Enchanted Rock Vodka?
I don't know if it's a shot.
Texas Ranger Whiskey?
Yeah. Of course. That's all we're drinking.
Listen.
I'm drinking the vodka all Friday.
Oh. What are you going to mix it with?
Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Okay.
If I'm in a bad mood, straight. Most
you
likely,
drink straight vodka?
No, only if I'm in a really bad mood. Most likely club soda.
Wait, hang on. Are you a psycho?
No, I take vodka shots.
Yeah, again, are you a psycho?
I know.
Just a straight vodka. What? Does that make you manly or something?
No, I just didn't like whiskey.
I'm judging you so hard.
I know you are. It's okay. I didn't like whiskey for a long time. I like it now. So I just would do that, and I didn't really like tequila either.
Why? Oh, okay,
it seemed like the lesser of evils.
Listen, I'm just going to give you a little advice here.
You can give it
as a drinker, as something some would call an alcoholic. If you're going to do shots, do something that tastes good.
I don't really think any of them taste good.
Yes, there are different shots that might seem a little girly. Do those.
Those are great.
But why are you just going to do straight vodka shots?
I have to go out to...
Vodka shots? No, Joe, this is a psychotic move.
I know it is. I would go to the bar.
Like getting people at the table, like a round of like vodka shots. Fireball makes more sense.
It would be like never be my decision. I would just be like, I'd be at a bar drinking.
Malort is better than
buying
shots.
That's wrong. That's
Malort is better than straight vodka shots, dude.
No.
You're not Russian.
They would just be like,
it's not Eastern promises.
They'd be like, we're buying shots. And I'm like, I don't want to be the only person asking for the girly shot.
No,
of the group.
Stop. Who cares?
I would do it.
Everyone is so soft these days.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think I'm gay because I'm drinking a drink that actually is good.
I don't want to be made fun of.
I think it is psychotic to do
straight
vodka. I don't think it is. I think that if you're going to do the first 10 people that go to the show.
No. I'll buy whatever shot you want. Listener.
Okay. But you're going to do a straight vodka shot.
Yes. Well, I can't do that. I have to drive back. I can't
partake. No.
I cannot partake in all of these shots.
Oh, all right.
Unless
everyone
arrives at one time.
Fine.
I should be a responsible person.
Straight vodka shots is actually for psychos. Joe's not happy about this judgment. From the 281, by the way, Texans Jaguars on Fox. So there's that. Anyway.
Oh, thanks for the correction.
Is it going to be like the 12th team on Fox? I don't even know who that is.
That'll be a curveball.
All right. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Anthony. Hey, don't. And for Sean behind the glass. We wrap things up with garbage time next. Stay put.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Last chance to dance. Galan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul.
Garbage time.
Vodka shots.
My takes and drinks, apparently.
Garbage. There's just plenty of other
things. Does it make it better if I get him chilled?
Yeah, you would get it not chilled?
No, I'm just saying, at least I do. I get them chilled.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people not get them chilled.
Yes, that's the real psycho move.
That's real Russian.
So, my group of friends shared a story about when they were up in Dallas, there was this guy who was, like, on a fifth or sixth date with one of the girls in the group.
Okay.
And this guy was absolutely the worst. And among the many things that he did, which included asking somebody, do you ski? Only to be met with a naive answer about, yeah, I go skiing all the time. Wasn't talking about that. Comes back from the bathroom all sweaty. This man ordered a round of room temperature vodka shots for everybody.
Oh.
Because he thought that he was not on the hook for the bill at a dinner that they had just eaten at a nice restaurant. This guy proceeds to accidentally tell the girl that he's with, like, I love you.
Oh, no.
And most hilarious of all, as they leave this restaurant, because they all left because they kind of wanted to ditch him, the Uber's going around. They saw the man getting arrested, and they actually took a picture of him. But this man bought room temperature vodka shots, and it should be a judgment call on everybody. Okay?
Were you a big go out the night before Thanksgiving guy in college and stuff?
Not really. No, I don't really. I mean, I don't really know where to go. Generally, I'm in, you know, somewhere in the suburbs for Thanksgiving or these times. So, yeah, tonight I'm going to bed as early as possible because I have an early flight and I have not done very good with the waking up for early flights recently.
You want to know something really strange about my upbringing?
What's that?
There's this festival every year in the town I grew up in.
Westivus? Festivus?
No. It's called the Turkey Testicle Festival.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding you.
Gonna eat some turkey balls?
I did it when I turned 21.
Damn.
I tried it. Tastes like chicken.
Well,
it was
it's turkey.
Midwest, very Midwest thing that would happen in which we would party very hard the night before at a local bar. And it was like a big celebration and it was fun. But very strange thing I grew up doing, I would say.
Okay. We have some airline updates for those who might be flying for Thanksgiving. First of all, American Airlines announced today, if you skip the boarding line, you will be sent to the back and a loud alarm will be played. And apparently, if that happens to you, if you're someone who cuts your boarding zone, you are considered gate lice. That's the industry term for people who try to cut into boarding groups that aren't theirs. Meanwhile, I've never done that, by the way.
So they just, like, publicly shame you? There's not, like, anything
I guess
like...
so, yeah. Okay. But The good news, and I don't know when this is going. Oh, this is going to start actually on Sunday. On Sunday, Delta is going to start collaborating with Shake Shack, so you can get a Shake Shack burger while on Delta Airlines.
Well, congratulations. I will never fly Delta.
Why? That sounds like a great reason to fly Delta.
Yeah. All the air conditioning in the plane.
Yeah.
When the people start ripping them.
Ripping what?
Farts.
Oh, tooting?
Yeah. It's going to be a stinky airplane, Paul.
Yeah, but if you're on a plane, you remember when you actually used to get food on a plane? Remember yes. when you actually would be presented with, and they weren't great meals, but I feel like at one point you used to get like decent meals on a plane, and now like you'll be lucky if you get like a tiny little fruit snack.
Yeah, I think the snack options have gotten so much worse.
Oh, they have. I mean, you got to like, I mean, on Southwest, you got to like pay for water now.
And they're like stale mustard pretzels. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not good options. They don't care about us anymore.
Well, of course they don't. They just want our money.
Because we can't have peanuts anymore, so that's not allowed anymore.
And they just want to make those planes smaller and smaller so they can fit more people on them. And those people can rip some, rip some toots. And there you go. Gen Z. Here's the thing for the Gen Zers out there. Do you know how many dollars you need to earn if you're successful, according to Gen Z, on an annual basis?
Oh, well, based on what I see on TikTok from women of what their goals are for dating people or dating men, I'm assuming Gen Z is going to say at least $1 million a year.
Well, close. $587,000. If you're making less than that per Gen Z, you're a failure.
That's cool.
That you need to be making at least $587,000 a year to be successful per Gen Z. Every other generation was saying like, yeah, like $90,000 to $180,000. Gen Z, $587,000. You psychopaths. Yeah, looking at Anthony, looking at AJ. You guys, $587,000. It ain't happening for any of us. We're all left and we're all gonna die. Anyway, that wraps up today's edition of the Gallant and George radio program. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Big thanks to Anthony filling in for Sean the last couple of days. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with the knowledge that you'll never earn $587,000 and that Gen Z thinks you're a failure if you never earn that much. I hope you'll have a good Thanksgiving. But I'm thankful for you. Thankful for Joe. I'm thankful for Anthony. I'm thankful for my eyebrows, my mustache, for not the Houston Texans, but for the Houston Rockets. The Come Alive NBA Cup Group Champions! We'll be back at it on Monday. Joe's going to be in College Station on Friday. So long, farewell, peace!